During World War II, Hitler commanded all religious groups in Germany to unite so that he could control them. Among the Brethren assemblies, half of the churches complied and joined the Nazi churches or the Nazi religious groups. The other half of the churches did not comply. And those churches that went along with Hitler's orders and became part of the national German church during that time had a much easier time. Those that refused to comply did not. They faced much persecution. And in most families in those churches that refused to comply and to join the German National Church and that went underground, in almost every single family in those churches, somebody died in a Nazi concentration camp. So when the war was over, there was a lot of bitterness, a lot of resentment, and hostility between the two groups. So finally, they decided as a denomination, because obviously this tension between the two sides, the churches that went along with the Nazis and the churches that refused to, the tension had reached the point that they decided to have a retreat where the leaders of these churches would go and try to resolve these differences and to work through these tensions and this hostility and this bitterness and this anger that existed between the two groups. The leaders from each group met at a quiet retreat, and for several days, each person went on their own to a quiet place to spend time in prayer. And they spent the time examining their own hearts in light of Christ's commands, in light of Scripture. And then after several days of praying on their own, praying privately, they came back together as a group. And Francis Schaeffer, who tells of this incident, asked a friend who was there, "What happened then? What happened when you came back together to discuss your differences? To discuss your grievances?" He said, "We were just one." As they confessed their hostilities and bitterness to God and yielded to His control, the Holy Spirit created a spirit of unity among them. Love filled their hearts and dissolved their hatred. They no longer even needed to discuss the issues that were dividing them, because God had already begun doing the work in them. As we continue our study in 1 Thessalonians, if you remember, the book of Thessalonians is divided into three parts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 gives us the general outline of the book. I'm going to go back to read that verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in sight of our God and Father." We've spent the last several weeks looking at the first section of the book, which dealt with our works, our faith, faith that produces works, faith that is demonstrated by our actions. This morning, we begin looking at the labor of love. So we're going to look at labor of love, part one. Labor of love, part one. If I could have, is the power, there we go. Sorry about that. And it is subtitled, "Love Grows Through Prayer." Love grows through prayer. So please stand with me as we read our passage this morning, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do so to you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to gather. We thank you for each individual that you have brought out this morning. Thank you that you allowed us to brave the cold and to be here this morning and to worship you and to study your word. And I pray, Lord, that this morning your Holy Spirit would be speaking to our hearts through this passage, that you would use this prayer of the Apostle Paul to teach us what you have for us to learn this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would increase our love, that you would increase our love for each other, our love for others, but most of all, that you would increase our love for you. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. This passage that we are looking at this morning, though he doesn't label it as such, is a prayer. This is the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Thessalonian church. As he enters this new subject, as he enters this new section in this letter where he's going to deal with love, he begins by praying for them. He begins by praying about the subject that he is about to speak to them about. So what do we learn from this prayer of the Apostle Paul concerning love? Well, first we see that we need to pray for love in the church. That's what he's doing. He's praying for love in this church. So let's look at verses 11 through 12. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. It's interesting, though, when we see when Paul begins his prayer, that he is giving us the example here of praying according to God's authority, will, and power. God is requesting, Paul is requesting something of God. He's not demanding of God. He is requesting that God would do something in his will. Verse 11, now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. What is he requesting of God in the opening of his prayer here? Paul begins his prayer by asking God to guide his way back to Thessalonica. He's asking God to allow him and his missionary companions to be able to travel back and to be with the Thessalonian believers whom he loved dearly. He loved them. He missed them. He desired to share his great love with them. He wanted to be with them again in person. Remember, the Apostle Paul had to flee Thessalonica for his own life. And we already saw previously that he desired to be with them, and he tried on several occasions to go back and be with them, but he was hindered. Satan hindered him. And so Paul here recognizes that though his desire, his prayer was to be with the Thessalonian believers, ultimately it was up to God whether he would be allowed to or not. He longed to be with them, but he understood that God has his own purpose. God has his own plans. Paul was willing to submit to God's will, even if that meant that he would never be able to be with his beloved brethren again. He understood that even if he could not be with them in person, he could still minister to them. One way he could still minister to them was this letter that we have, the two letters that he wrote to them. One that we are going through right now, and 2 Thessalonians, his second letter, which we will study after we finish going through this one. But another way that he could continue to minister to them, not just writing letters, but praying for them. And that is what he's doing here. And I am sure that there are many prayers that Paul prayed for the Thessalonian believers that are not written in Scripture, but we see one example here. So this gives us an idea of what Paul was praying for them on their behalf, interceding for them with God. And he prayed and he asked God to cause the love of the Thessalonian believers to increase and abound. He asked God that their love would continue to grow. Though he had pointed out previously that their love was abounding, that they were demonstrating the labor of love, but he's still asking God for more. God, may their love grow, may their love increase. He preferred to show them his love in person. He preferred to be with them and to be able to hug them and to be able to spend time with them if God granted that. But if not, he was okay because he could still minister to them and he could still pray for them. And so Paul goes into his prayer, and what does he request of God? In verse 12, he asked God that their love would abound. I believe that verse 12 is a recognition of the fact that Paul understood that the Thessalonian believers were incapable of having that love on their own. Paul understood that if their love was to abound, if their love was to grow, if they were going to have the type of love that God desired of them, the type of love that impacts the world, the type of love that is supposed to identify believers and identify the church, that God had to be the one to bring about that increase. Why? Because this love that Paul is referring to here in his prayer and that he speaks of here in this letter of 1 Thessalonians is a love that goes against our human nature. We are born sinful. We are born naturally selfish. Our human love almost always has an alternative motive, an ulterior motive. There is always something that we are desiring in return, something that we are desiring for ourselves. See, Paul understood that it isn't simply enough to work harder at loving each other. He didn't tell them, love each other more. He doesn't just simply instruct them. He is going to instruct them, and he is going to deal on the subject, but he prays to God first. Why? Because he recognizes it is only the work of God in them that would make this happen. The main problem when love is lacking in the church is not our lack of effort. It isn't that we're not trying enough. When love is lacking in the church, when love is lacking in the life of a believer, it is because the church or the believer is not allowing God to do what he desires to do in them. Simply instructing the church to love more is just as effective as telling a child to grow up. Parents, how effective is that? Did that work with your children? Just grow up. Just love more. It isn't about our effort. We can try all we want. But if God is not giving us that love for one another, it is never going to happen. It is never going to develop. It is never going to grow. The love Paul is referring to that is needed in the church is the word agape, which is a love that, according to Scripture, comes only from God. He is the only one that can make agape love abound in us. 1 John 4, 7 and 8, and I'm sure you are familiar with these verses. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." The word love here in 1 John 4, 7 and 8 that is repeated time and time again in these two verses is the word agape. Agape love. So, beloved, let us have agape love for one another. For agape love is of God. And anyone who has agape love is born of God and knows God. He who does not have agape love does not know God, for God is agape. See, this type of love only comes from God. It doesn't come from us. It's not something that we can develop on our own through improving our thinking. It doesn't come through psychology. It doesn't come through learning how to become better people. This type of love comes only from God. He's the only one that can give it. And that word agape is the same word that we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. Agape is the Greek word for a selfless, unconditional, sacrificial, and willful love. It's not about feelings. It's not a question of, do I feel like loving somebody? No, it is a willful love. I choose to love you regardless of whether you love me back. And that type of attitude can only come from God. It doesn't develop naturally in us as human beings. And John tells us that agape love only comes from God. And that apart from Him, man cannot experience this love. And if agape is going to be present at Grace Baptist Church, then it is only God working in us individually as believers and corporately as a church that will bring this about. So let me ask you, the Apostle Paul recognized that it was only through prayer that this would happen in the Thessalonian church. Are you praying for agape love? Are you praying for God to give you this type of love for others? Are you praying that agape love would abound in this church? Verse 12 goes on to tell us that love should be directed, who love should be directed towards first. Pray for abundant love within the church. Let's go back to verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another. Let's leave it there. To one another. So this abundant love that Paul was praying for, that we should be praying for, first of all, needs to exist in us toward each other. Who is one another? The local church. The Apostle Paul is praying that this agape love would abound so much in the Thessalonian believers that they would love each other. that they would be a church that loves one another. He prayed for agape love to increase and abound among the believers who were the members of this local church in Thessalonica. In our case, we need to pray for agape love to increase here in our midst towards one another. That I would love each of you with this agape love. That you would love one another with this agape love. That we would all share this love for one another. Pray that agape love would so abound in us as a congregation here at Grace Baptist Church that we would experience complete oneness and unity just as Jesus prayed. See, Jesus prayed for this for us too. It wasn't just the Apostle Paul that prayed for this for the Thessalonian believers, and I believe at the same time prayed for all of the churches, those that he was involved in planting and those that would come. But Jesus prayed the exact same thing. In John chapter 17, verses 20 to 21, Jesus says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." That includes us. We came to know Jesus Christ through the words of his disciples, did we not? Through recorded scripture. So Jesus is praying for us. And what is Jesus praying for us here in John 17, 21? That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus is praying for unity. He is praying that the church, the local church, would be so united. And this type of unity only comes through agape love. That they would love each other, that we as a church would love each other so much, that we would be so united that through our testimony, our example, those around us would be able to know that God the Father sent his Son Jesus Christ. That our love, our unity as a church would be a living testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray that agape love would so abound in us that the world would take notice. That our neighbors would take notice. That the community here and in Tyrone would take notice. John 13, 35 says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples." By what? If you have love for one another. Do they know? Is that what we're communicating? Is that what the community sees in us as a congregation, as believers? My desire, and I know it is God's desire as well, is that our love for one another here at Grace Baptist Church would be so abundant that those on the outside would start talking about it. That those on the outside would begin to make comments. Something is going on in that church. Often, when people on the outside are making comments about a church, it's because there is no love in the church. But wouldn't it be wonderful and awesome if the community starts talking about Grace Baptist Church because there's something different in us? Because there is love there. There is unity there. God's desire and my desire is that we would be known for our love. That those on the outside would be drawn to Grace Baptist Church in a desire to experience firsthand this love that we share. And God is working. I can sense that love and I believe it is growing. But we need to pray that it would continue to grow. because scripturally, we understand and we know that it doesn't come from practice, it comes from God. And if it's going to continue to grow, we need to continue to ask Him for it. Abundant love within the church is not enough, though. We also need to pray for love towards those on the outside of the church. Let's go back to verse 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and to all, just as we do to you. Paul prayed that their love would increase and abound to one another and to all. Who is the all? Anybody that falls outside of the one another. The one another was the Thessalonian church. Those who Paul was writing this letter to specifically. So in our case, the one another is us, this congregation, this body. Who is the all? Anybody who falls outside of this congregation. That includes other believers. That includes those that attend another church. Many times, often as Christians, even as pastors and church leaders, we fall into the trap of seeing each other as competition. And we hold those of another church at off at a distance because you're not part of us. But we are called to have that agape love towards one another and towards all. That includes other believers that are not part of this local church. That also includes believers who were once part of this church that no longer are. That's part of the all. Are we praying for that? Are you asking God for that? But we also believe scripturally that it includes unbelievers. They are part of the all as well. We need to view unbelievers in the same way that Jesus viewed them. How did Jesus view unbelievers? How did Jesus view those that were outside of his body, who had not placed their faith in him? Matthew 9:36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd." When Jesus saw the unsaved, what did he feel towards them? He felt compassion. His love motivated him to be compassionate towards them. Are you motivated by compassion towards the lost? Often, sadly, we are motivated more by judgment than we are compassion. Jesus had compassion for them. Are you praying for God to increase your love towards those who do not know Christ? Are you asking God to move your heart with compassion towards them instead of being judgmental? And scripturally, this goes even beyond this to including individuals who have harmed us and hurt us. Does it not? They're part of the all. Those that we are to have and demonstrate agape love towards, that Paul is asking God to increase in the Thessalonian believers, the all even includes those who were persecuting them, those who were harming them, their enemies. What does Scripture have to say about this? What does Jesus say about this? Jesus instructed his disciples to love even their enemies. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." This is not natural. This is not our natural human response, is it? I don't think I have to work hard at convincing anybody of that. We've all responded naturally in the flesh at times towards those who persecute us. Only God can wipe away resentment. Only God can take away anger. Only God can remove bitterness and unforgiveness in our lives. He's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can give us agape love towards those who have harmed us. He did that for the brethren assemblies in Germany. When they prayed for God to give them love, when they prayed for God to allow them to forgive, when they prayed for God to unite them, He did. Only God is able to do it. And that brings us to the final main point here, and that is depend on God to do the work. Verse 13. So that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. See, only He can provide what is lacking. Only He is able to. The word establish here means to prop up, support, confirm, fix, make fast, or set. The only one that can make us complete. The only one that can fix what is broken in us. The only one that can bring about that which is lacking in us is God. And God's desire is to bring each of us and to bring this church to spiritual maturity. And if love is what is lacking to bring us to that point, then God is the one that will give us that love. God is the only one that we can trust to provide that type of love in our lives. And we know that love plays a key role in spiritual maturity. How do we know that? Well, when Paul lists the fruits of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, what's the very first fruit that he mentions? Let's look at that. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So when we recognize that we need God's love, that we need His love to abound in us, when we recognize that we need agape love, and we asked Him for it, then we simply need to trust Him that He will do the work. We simply need to get out of His way and let Him work in us and do what He needs to do to complete it in us. It isn't about us trying harder. It's about us asking Him and trusting Him and allowing Him to do the work. He is the one that will complete it. He knows what is lacking in each of us. He knows what is lacking at Grace Baptist Church. If love is lacking, if agape love is lacking, and we pray for it according to God's authority, according to God's will, according to God's power, He is able and He is faithful to make us abound in agape love. Do you believe that? Do you truly believe that? Is He capable? Is He able? Is He able to remove whatever resentment you're dealing with? Is He able to remove whatever it is that is hindering your love towards a brother or sister here this morning? Is He able to give you the type of compassionate love for those who do not know Christ that Jesus had and has for them. If you do, why aren't you asking for it? Why aren't we as a congregation asking for it? Let us then pray for it and believe God when He tells us that He will supply it. See, only He can prepare His church for His return. Let's read verse 13 again. So that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. When the Lord Jesus Christ returns for His bride, the church, the universal church, which we are a part of, He will present her to His Father as holy and blameless. Now, let's be honest here. Are you holy and blameless? I know I'm not. Not in myself, I'm not. So it says here that He will present His church holy and blameless. This is not because of anything that I have done. He will not present me as part of the bride because of anything that I have done or anything that I've deserved. He will present you and I, along with the rest of the universal body of Christ, the bride of Christ, to His Father as holy and blameless because He is the one that has done the work in her to make her holy and blameless. It is His work, not ours. It is critical that we understand that it is Jesus' responsibility to do this in us, not our own. And He does this through the power of His Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." When Jesus Christ ascended back to the presence of His Father, He promised to send His Spirit to indwell in us so that His Spirit could do that transforming work in us, preparing us to be that holy, perfect, and blameless bride that He could present to His Father. It is only the Spirit of God working in you and working in me that can perfect us and prepare us for the day that Jesus presents us to His Father. And we need to trust Him to do it. Again, it isn't about working harder and trying harder. It isn't about motivation speeches. It's about recognizing that only He can do the work and depending on Him and praying and asking Him to do it. And that's why I've entitled my message, Love Grows Through Prayer. If we're praying for it and we're trusting Him to do the work, He will do it. But if we're not, it's not going to happen. It is not about trying harder. It is not about working harder. It is about surrendering ourselves to God's power in our lives and allowing His Holy Spirit to do the work. Love grows through prayer. If we are going to be the kind of Christians that impact the lives of those around us, if Grace Baptist Church is going to be the kind of church that impacts its community, our love needs to grow more and more every day for each other and for all. I'm going to do something that I don't do often. And that is to invite you, if you choose to respond and to join me in praying and asking God to do this in our midst, to please come and stand up here at the altar. I invite you this morning to join me up front here at the altar and so that we can pray together. According to God's authority, according to God's will, according to God's power for abundant love for one another within this church, for abundant love for those outside this congregation. Let's not make this just about a one-time prayer. Let's pray this every day. Let's make this a constant prayer for each one of us and for as a church, that God would make His love abound. So I'm going to invite you, if you want to join me in making this commitment to not just praying now, but praying every day, asking God to make His love abound in us as a church, as a congregation, as believers, so that God can do His mighty work in us. Please join me if you would like to join me in this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this truth. Thank you that it is not up to us to develop this love for each other and for others. Thank you that it is not about trying harder, that it doesn't rely on our own strength, but that you have promised to do this work in us. That you have promised that your Holy Spirit would make this love abound in us. Lord, my desire individually and as pastor of this church is to see this love grow. I believe you're already doing it. I'm seeing it happen. And I've been praying for it. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us with one voice as a body, as a church, as a congregation, that we would unite together and to ask you to do this in our midst. That we would truly, first of all, love you above all else. That you would make our love abound and to grow for one another. That there would truly be unity of heart, of soul, and mind because of what you are doing in us. And that you would make our love for those outside of this congregation, our brothers and sisters who were once part of us and have left, for our brothers and sisters that are in other local churches and in churches around the world, that we truly would have that love for one another that just transcends human understanding. And that we would have this love for the unbelieving world that is around us. Help us to love them. Help us to demonstrate that love. That when they look at us, they would have to admit that we are your children, that you are working in us, that our love would be a living testimony to the world around us. All this we ask in the precious name and in the will and in the power and in the might of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.